When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Golden Globes are over, but we are just getting started talking about the 80th edition of the Golden Globes here on Post Show Recap. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Winkler. I am joined here to discuss the riveting Golden Globes award show this year alongside my great co-hosts here. They are the co-anchors of Post Show Recap Theater, Grace and Ariel. Grace, can you finally, the Golden Globes are done.
Done. Finally. It took a little while. Everyone got distracted by Brad Pitt sitting in the front row. So, of course. Yeah. Took forever. Mm-hmm.
Ariel, it took like literally almost 4 hours to get through the Golden Globes. You okay?
First of all, I just want to say hi to Brad Pitt. Hey.
Hey, Brad.
And second of all, Josh, you look incredible for 80, I must say.
Oh, thank you. Wow. I appreciate it. Yeah, I did say that this is the 80th Golden Globes here on Post Show Recaps, which kind of implied that we've been covering it from the beginning.
The secret history of Post Show Recaps is that we have been covering the Golden Globes every year
only,
since its inception, but only that.
We don't know what lies ahead with time travel and stuff, and so it is not impossible that somewhere within the next 5 years that gets unlocked and one of us goes back to the dawn of the Golden Globes with our podcasting equipment and records like shadow coverage of every year from there on, and then we could release a time capsule style. So it's possible that Post Show Recaps has been covering the Golden Globes since the very beginning.
Yeah, I remember when Mike Bloom was like, oh my God, I can't believe Song of Bernadette won in 1943.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about what the Mike Bloom pun for Song of
Full
Bernadette
Bloom.
Was.
Wow.
But yeah, he got us canceled all the way back in the earliest days humanly possible.
It's a movie about visions of the Virgin Mary. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we're talking about the Golden Globes. It's the first Golden Globe since 2021, right? It wasn't on last year.
They gave out the awards.
They printed a list, right? It was like a great like taut 1990s thriller where they like hit print screen and take it out of the printer and go to a microphone and unveil the results.
And it was probably with like the perforated like edges.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which if it were mine that I was collecting those pieces of paper, I would have spent a lot of time like then like twirling and twisting the perforated edges.
It feels good.
Making some cool shapes. Yeah, tactile. Very, very nice finger touch to the paper. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's late. We are right after the Golden Globes. It's 11:32 p.m. on a school night as we are breaking down the Golden Globes. They just happened. It's obviously it was a wild night, Grace.
Yeah, I feel like the show, it started off pretty fun, but clearly people were going way too long in their speeches, but they were very nice and good. And then I think a la Mike White, who did not have dinner but had many drinks, you could feel it kind of like it was trying to get itself back on track, but also not doing it. And I feel like I do want to give it Natasha Lyonne giving the speech of the center. I hope that was
a dedication to time herself.
So good. So good. Yeah. But yeah, you could feel it kind of like the awkward energy in the room picking up, I think, as it was going. Yeah. Along. Yeah,
I think I did to the point, Ariel, of people drinking on empty tummies over the course of the Golden Globes evening. Didn't it? It did have that energy of like people almost had like that big uproarious party energy early in the show. And then as you're getting towards the end, it was like the stage of the party where people I think I got to go home.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Or at least it doesn't matter as
much. Like, what time is it?
In the beginning, I was feeling very like, oh, you could really feel the time, you know, to quote Natasha Lyonne and how time is the only true enemy, death's chariot and all that.
Yeah.
I was really feeling in the beginning, honestly. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. And then it wasn't until you know, some of those moments y'all are talking about where it's like, okay, now that they care less and that they're, and they being like the presenters and the actors and all that. And it's a little bit less like, it felt like people in the beginning were kind of like very measured and like, how can I act and how should I act? And at the end it was like, bah, I'm going to speak in Italian. Hey, Brad Pitt.
A lot of shout outs to Brad Pitt. Yeah. I think like some headlines from the Golden Globes. I think this is the way we should do it because I don't know if everybody watched this. We're recording this late at night, right after the show. What do we think? We're going to wake up to some sort of news report, Grace, that five people watched the Golden Globes.
Yes, people are bailing
record numbers on the award shows.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't spoke of the elephant in the room, which Jared Carmichael brings up his thing. The reason wasn't, you know, it got sort of was not allowed, but networks dropped it last year. Essentially, like, we're not going to air it because of you don't have enough diversity in your voting pool. And so, yeah, we're going to, and the you know, the Tom Cruise returning his Golden Globes, and Jared Carmichael does. I feel like the energy of I love Jared Carmichael. I thought he was very funny tonight. But he also does not care how awkward his jokes will land, which is is great. But you know, sets a tone, a specific tone for a show. You know.
Yeah, the room was like swiftly murdered, Ariel, at the very very start of the show. So for people who didn't watch, Jared Carmichael hosts the show and begins the show with a real scathing indictment of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. That I suppose I don't know a ton about, but in, and I think a very effective part of Jared's speech that was basically like, HFPA is racist. The only reason that I'm here is because I'm black, is what he's talking about in his opening speech. And the room is dead silent. You heard a cell phone go off at one point during
the
opening. It couldn't have been yours, Ariel. You ran out of battery this late in the day.
I did just put my phone in.
No question about it. But it you know, got the intended result, at least, of like, I think I'm missing something about the Golden Globes being awful. Let me Google it. And then I stumbled upon the LA Times report. Yeah. And at first I was like, oh no, am I going to have to subscribe? And then no, it wasn't a paywall.
That would have been the true crime of the evening.
That was great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think like there was sort of this atmosphere spearheaded and led by Jared Carmichael, kind of like setting the tone of like, no, we're kind of going to take this occasion to dunk on the HFPA and the Golden Globes. And that ended up being like a big recurring theme of the meta of the night, let alone the actual victories and the awards throughout the evening.
Yeah, I think the meta part of it for sure is something that we've seen before in Hosts, but I think this is a very particular case with the essentially cancellation of the Golden Globes for like a year, and then the somewhat unceremonious uncancellation of them. And whether or not they told, I mean, they probably told him, do whatever you want, but I think the dumbest thing they could have said was, please be nice to us. You know, I think that he did
unfireable.
Yeah, exactly. He's unfireable. I did think it was hilarious.
They paid him $500,000.
Yeah, when you mentioned the amount that you're paid and you're pacing back and forth in a way where you're like kind of not interested in the audience's reaction, I agree with Grace. It's just kind of like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and it kind of doesn't matter. I think he was,
he said you can't fire the first black host
in what he intended to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think in these cases, like, I think, you know, we've seen Golden Globe specifically, we've seen like Ricky Gervais. He's like one that comes to mind besides, you know, Maya Rudolph and Amy Poehler, who was like kind of biting and super toxic. And this was just like a little bit more, it was a little bit more stand up in the beginning, just like him doing his shtick. And like you said, Josh, the whole room wasn't quite into it.
No, but punching upward, which I really appreciate, you know, I mean, I don't know, is the HFPA above everybody? It almost feels, it does feel like, you know, like maybe like grab them from their pedestal, be like, you don't belong there.
Yeah, I mean, they bamboozled all and these then people punching down. Still going up. So, yeah.
It was a complete evisceration of the HFPA. It felt like, Grace, and not just the speech, and then I think a lot of allusions throughout the night, and like the energy is sort of like tense from that moment forward. I think, but also the fact that we're up late, and that kind of sucks. But also, it felt like at a certain point, a concerted effort to keep the program running to a point where it was now going to start costing money to continue airing the Golden Globes. And I think it's that Natasha Lyonne moment where she's saying, we really have to wrap this up by 11. Let's just check the time code on that. By the way, that was
literally like 11:03.
Yeah, 11:03.
I believe when she is making that those comments. And then she continues to talk for like another 90 seconds about mother time. And her doing her bidding. So it did feel like this was a big theme of the evening. And I think like either you were into it because it was, you know, call the mess magnets. This should be on the podcast for them this week. Or if you were like completely repelled by it, I think I could imagine it going either way.
So Jared Carmichael, though, he ends his speech by saying, like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to take the money. I'm not going to meet with the head of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association because she can't fire me, because they can't fire the first black host after the not having enough diversity controversy. So he's unfireable. He says, I'm going to do it because I think that these type of events are actually important. I thought it was like actually a really good end. And I felt like there was some of that energy that really carried through, where I felt like everybody was so excited to see everybody, like mostly Brad Pitt. We keep joking about that, but just excited about everybody. Jennifer Coolidge only thanking Ryan Murphy, but wanting to thank many more people. Like there was this energy of Colin Farrell, like shove somebody out of the way to help somebody. Is it Jennifer Coolidge?
He walked Jennifer Coolidge up. Colin Farrell was definitely trying to, like, he was playing the social game tonight.
Yes. 100%.
Colin Farrell is making an alliance with Ana de Armas on stage.
Yeah, he's like, I love your movies.
Colin Farrell made a final three deal with her and Jennifer Coolidge on stage in front of the entire Golden Globes audience and America and beyond.
Yeah, so there was a lot of this energy of like Guillermo del Toro says this, of like, it's so nice to be back. I did feel like there, and I know this is not the first award show that's been back, but there was this, like, it felt like a really small space, to the point of it actually being very awkward every time they cut back from commercial, and nobody put up a sign that says stop, like listen to Jared Carmichael. He would be like, at the beginning, he was joking. It seemed like jokingly be like, can we all settle down? But I actually wonder if there was, because when we came back later, there was so much chatter, and they were doing this thing of like showing during the commercial breaks, like people hugging and taking pictures. There's a one shot of Steven Spielberg just taking a picture of Paul Dano, which you think he's like done that a lot because he filmed him in a movie. Yeah. So I think that's very funny. But there, I feel like there was this energy of like Hollywood stars hanging out and like loving each other and wanting to be friends that I thought made it less awkward.
It does seem like you don't get that opportunity really at the Oscars or the Emmys, because those, Ariel, are award shows that are taken somewhat seriously, at least.
That's right.
Yeah.
And maybe there is like some sort of collective, like, well, if we're not going to like be create like in the thick of creating a musical like Amanda Seyfried, and we are instead going to attend the Golden Globes, then at least we could treat it with sort of the same respect that it seems to aim outwards.
To deserve. I mean, there's a reason that the G in EGOT does not stand for Golden Globe.
Wait, it doesn't?
It does not. I think for sure, this is like an award show that is famous for famous people getting drunk and with each other in the same room. And it's always been historically fun to watch. And the last few years, it's been less fun to watch. And there was this kind of energy in the room, at least for me, of like, do we ever need to do this again? Yeah. Like, is this like, it's because it just seemed less and less important with all of some of the real world issues that some of these people were mentioning.
So I do think we leave the monologue just to like kind of talk about the flow of the evening. We then get to the first two awards of the night. And the first two awards of the night are supporting actor and supporting actress in any motion picture. And those awards go out to people who I think a lot of people were really excited to see win. Ki-hee Kwan is the first winner of the evening for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And then Angela Bassett wins for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And both of them give these really, really endearing speeches about the struggles to break through in Hollywood with their experiences, and especially being a child actor and then being basically ignored for decades was part of this. These were really, really, I thought, well-earned victories, Grace, and also very touching moments that I think we went from like this really sharp edge, which I think really stayed, and yet somehow also got these moments that were kind of, I don't know, superhuman and gentle and really lovely at the same time. So it was a real emotional ride, even just from the very beginning.
Yeah, some like whiplash. It's like, Ki-hee Kwan is like talking about, that like the Daniels give him another chance at like, you know, this thing he wanted to do is like so beautiful. And Angela Bassett's talking about Chadwick Boseman. And like, God, this is like emotional. Right from like, should we be doing this to like, oh, this is very nice, you know, immediately. Yeah.
And then the full spectrum, I think, is touched upon, because I don't remember what the award she presents is, but I believe Jennifer Coolidge is the very next person to get on stage and speak. And she just gives a whole speech before even presenting the award for whatever. I can't even remember. Ariel, she just gets
neither
up
could
there.
She.
And your girl Tanya McQuaid is up there talking about how she got the phone call to present. And then said yes, and then immediately called back to take it back, because what if I'm just going to fall on my face in front of everybody? And the teleprompter, they say it goes to the speed of your speech, but that's not true. See, it's going too fast already.
Why is she always out of breath?
I love it.
Outstanding. And so we have like this like sharp, scathing indictment of the show that's being hosted from the host. Mm-hmm. We get these incredibly touching and tender and well-deserved wins from the next two actors. And then we get this like total shit show of a speech from Jennifer Coolidge as she's about to nominate somebody or announce the winner. And I feel like these were kind of like the buckets of the Golden Globes throughout the evening, until we got to like the later stages of it. And it's like, Kevin Costner really just won Best Act? I'm too tired to think about that too hard. You know, those were sort of the modes of the Golden Globes.
Yeah. It's a tough one, because it's the movies and TV thing has always been a thing that a little bit bothered me about the Golden Globes, that it was doing both. It's like, pick a lane.
How you really feel great.
Yeah. Pick a lane. Pick one. But yeah, I do feel like I am a little more like, I talk a lot about the Oscar like race that are happening, and the Golden Globes has traditionally been sort of a landing mark that like who gets momentum coming.
What
out
does
of the
this
Golden
really
Globe?
Tell us? The Golden Globes, is it really like, is it sort of like am I licking my finger and putting it in the air and I know if it's gonna rain? Is that
big,
what that
big surprise that the Fablemans wins that gives it more credit? It could get, but you know, there was a, it really dropped down after its release because nobody went to go see it, but then now it wins. So is it gonna get but Banshees, I think, has like a bit of a long, is now not quite as much of a long shot to win anymore. That's basically it. You know, people really like Elvis, and Austin Butler is Elvis, and he's probably going to win. So
some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the Golden Globes wins are always like, I don't know, a little bit of an asterisk. Like I agree with a little bit of what Grace is saying that like, yeah, this kind of puts things, it either places things at the top of people's lists or kind of puts things back into like, you know, people's minds about certain things that may have fallen off. But also, you know, I always think, I'm so sorry to do this, but I always think of Piper Perabo winning for Covert Affairs. And I'm just like, no, what are we doing? This isn't, these award shows are this one in particular isn't like, it's such a mixed bag.
Another, and I think Yellowstone alum you're talking about.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that. But she, not her, she was great. She was great in Coyote Ugly anyway, but I feel like it really, for some of the things, maybe for like the one or two or three or four big awards, like what you would call the big four or six awards of the night, like best actor, best picture, best series, like it might make a difference. But everything else, it's kind of like, I don't know, history tells us that it's all over the place. So I don't know what the Golden Globes are useful for, except watching these people get drunk, which is very entertaining.
I mean, I thought that was pretty entertaining to see some of these people come out. And it was also very endearing to see some of the people who were just super, super happy. And then, a couple of the wins that were like, huh, okay. What were some of the biggest surprises of the evening for you, Grace, in terms of actual categories won? Or okay, lost, as it might be.
Well, House of the Dragon winning, I think, is a surprise.
House of the Dragon wins Best TV Series Drama.
And it's not that I don't think it's good. I covered it. I think it was very good. I just don't know if it's better than both Better Call Saul and Severance. It would be my take, probably.
You know who else was surprised to win, Grace? Miguel Sapochnik.
Who's not going to be running the show anymore.
Who is not even going to be on the show. So I thought it was so hilarious. Yeah. And not only was he drunk and very sincerely like, wow, I really did not think I was going to win. I basically untucked my shirt. But yeah, he's not even going to be on the show anymore. So I thought it was just like, wow, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. House of the Dragon beats out the likes of Better Call Saul, The Crown, Ozark, and Severance. And I do almost feel like because Better Call Saul never gets respect. So I'm used to that at this point. I did tweet out that
Bob Ronnie Dangerfield of TV shows.
I did tweet out that Bob Odenkirk should have gone up to the stage when it was announced for Kevin Costner. Because yes. Saul Goodman does tell Walter White at one point that he slept with a woman by pretending he was Kevin Costner once upon a time. So I felt like maybe he could have claimed the best performance by an actor in a television series drama award, and no one would have known the difference. And people probably would have appreciated him taking the award. Yeah, I think as a bit would have been pretty good. But I'm used to Saul getting snubbed. Not a surprise. It would have been Severance. Maybe the consolation prize, and I guess now to officially spoil the top 10 TV shows of 2022 here on Post Show Recaps, at least Severance wins by a significant margin there.
And it's got the most, well, I mean, House of the Dragon will continue. God, if this is years of House of the Dragon and Severance, and House of the Dragon keeps winning, would be very sad. But and just to go to the speeches, to the people who didn't show up, I have to assume that while they were initially disappointed, because there was some, Brendan Fraser said he wasn't coming because there is an issue. He was assaulted by a Hollywood Foreign Press agent.
I believe his remarks on the subject when asked if he was going to attend were, I have more history with the HFPA than I have respect for the HFPA.
And so I think there was this thing of like, will other people be like, oh, that is not good and let's not go? And the general consensus was like, no. And so I wonder how much they were worried about like, oh, some of our people are not going to show up. But then when they were running out of time, be like, thank gosh, Zendaya and like Kevin Costner are not here to give speeches. So, yeah.
It was a time suck that they got rid of.
I think Kevin Costner winning Best Performance by an Actor in a Television Series is not just the biggest surprise of the night to me, but also like this isn't right. That's not right.
Yeah,
I mean that's not right.
Bob's in there. Adam Scott's in there.
Should go to Bob Odenkirk, but like again, Saul, you're just gonna outlaw Saul because it never gets awards respect. So be great to see it go to Diego Luna, but it's probably not going to a Star Wars show. Maybe it goes to Adam Scott because Severance is so hot right now. So that was a possibility. I'm surprised that Jeff Bridges and the Old Man got nominated. Grace, I know you loved that show.
I love that
about
show.
It with Rich.
I'm excited for it to come back. It's great. It's great. He's great in it.
But I guess of those nominees, I guess like, I don't know. Kevin Costner's star power, but it's kind of like, I don't know, one of these things is not quite like the others. So
there's a way in which, I think there's a way sometimes in which that, like, and I guess looking at the list, I guess it doesn't bear out this way, but I feel like sometimes it feels more popular. It's like, I do think, like, I don't know whether Angela Bassett winning at the Golden Globes means she can win at the Oscars. And it's the, like, Marvel thing, right? That it's a Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit, again, surprised for the Fablemans one, but yeah. So yeah. And I feel like the House of the Dragon one feels like that. And then Costner winning for Yellowstone. So at least from the TV, I also thought, like, Rue was great, but Euphoria did not have its best season, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Evan Peters is Dahmer. You know, there's some.
That felt maybe.
Did either of you do the Dahmer?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
Fine. You know,
I didn't murder that show. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Can I have lodge a complaint about one thing?
Please.
that I complained about on the Emmys pod, which is that the White Lotus, you can't now in season two, you're not eliminated.
Yeah, The White Lotus is officially an ongoing
sorry,
TV
series. Wait, it says anthology series.
It says anthology, which I think series. It is their way, but I think that's cheating. I thought that that
Ariel, as the White Lotus expert here on the podcast,
I thought that Michaela J. Cole was going to say, or as I like to say, category fraud, but she ended up saying something else. But it's like, you can't, because, like, if it's an anthology series, it's more like, even that American Horror Story is an extended universe. But I think, like, it's a lot more, there's a lot more of a separation traditionally between the seasons, whereas this is just like a follow-up with a character. So it's a little bit category fraud, but HBO is great at that. I mean, they kind of invented it. So
yeah. I did miss the word anthology. So I think actually it's fair for it to be in there, even though it is weird that Jennifer
it's fair, but twice it's kind of dumb.
For the same character in an anthology.
You know what? I definitely understand the nitpick, and I think I share it, Grace, but at the same point, when it's happening,
Jennifer Coolidge won,
when it's happening to Jennifer Coolidge, and when it's happening to Mike White, and Mike White really is having a moment right now, and definitely great. Making anyone who made fun of him about the Emoji movie feel a little bit silly these days. I think that it was really nice to see. I thought that, like, his reaction specifically to Jennifer Coolidge's speech, which was basically, if you didn't watch it and you're just listening to the recap, she just spent the vast majority of it just. Pumping up Mike White. And it was very, very sweet to hear her talk about him. And he was so moved and he's crying. And he then, you know, wins for the show a couple of moments later. And, like, he can't even formulate words really there.
No.
That was nice. It really was. I liked it.
You and Grace passed on me for years podcasting. Yes, you did. So it's very gratifying to be here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who are the five people that hung with you on your journey to become a podcaster, Ariel?
It's not Brad Falchuk. What's his name? Ryan Murphy.
Jonathan Landgraf.
I guess it's really just you, Ryan Murphy. But I yelled. I think my biggest yell moment was when the presenter said, Tanya McCoy, and I said,
"Yes,
McQuad!
I said, McQuad. You got that wrong.
But I would like to lodge a complaint.
Sure.
My most WTF moment was they're giving Eddie Murphy the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Correct. Yeah.
And the very first clip in his reel is the donkey from Shrek. I was so offended. I was like, no, you did not do this to this man. This is worse than him losing at the Oscars. This is worse.
Yeah, so he
for
wins
the donkey.
That. He wins the achievement, right? He gets the achievement here, and they have to play a sizzle reel to present Eddie on stage. Tracy Morgan gives a great, you know, sort of welcome to Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
We get the sizzle reel, and so there is a lot in this moment from here on out that I'm kind of confused by. One of which is, why am I seeing so much Nutty Professor at the Golden Globes right now?
Because he was so many roles in that movie.
I suppose, like, it's just there's a lot of different characters that it has to cover.
Huh. Yeah. Clumps.
The whole point of that is that he did that many, so we need to see that he did that many.
Right, and I'd forgotten that he was Bowfinger. I'd forgotten about Bowfinger. That. Mm-hmm. Some movie where he's holding intestines. I didn't know what that was from. But there's a movie that it seems like it must have been like a movie within a movie is what it looked like.
Oh, maybe it was Bowfinger, because I know they were filming the movie within the movie. But
on the other side of the sizzle reel, Then suddenly Jamie Lee Curtis comes out. And it's so at first I thought
we didn't do this for Ryan Murphy.
Tracy Morgan goes, ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Lee Curtis. And I thought that he was punking Eddie Murphy for a second because the night had kind of this like big chaotic energy.
Yeah.
And then no, Jamie Lee Curtis actually walks out. I'm like, what's going on? It's so late.
And she's like, remember?
I know it's not, but I'm almost 40 now, and this is late for me.
She's like, remember Trading Places? It's me. It's Jamie Lee Curtis.
It was so strange. And then she gives
not a Nepo baby, Jamie Lee Curtis.
She gives this very sincere speech about, Eddie, you're the best. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And so it goes for like another 2 minutes pushing us past 11 p.m. ultimately, adding to the clock. I think the final clock out was 11:19 by my count. It was weird to have now all of a sudden Jamie Lee Curtis has to be part of this tandem duo of Jamie Lee Curtis and Tracy Morgan introducing Eddie Murphy. Seems like, Grace, the three of them are like super tight, and that's an incredible friendship if that's true.
Yeah, I want to hang out with that crew. I loved every commercial where like you'd see two people chatting who you never, it's like, I want to hear what that conversation looks like. I want to see the hang of Eddie Murphy, Morgan and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
Would have been fun.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy gives like a pretty tepid speech when he is, you know, acknowledging the honors of getting this. And then he ends it with advice for anyone in the room who is waiting to get their chance in Hollywood. Three simple rules. It's foolproof. I think thing one was pay your taxes.
Yeah.
Thing two is mind your business.
Yeah.
Thing three is the Will Smith slap reference. He has to make, someone had to do it. I thought that as far as they could go, it was like we were so late into the night and it hadn't really been checked. And Eddie Murphy's whole speech is very, 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 very tame and light and kind of devoid of personality. And for whatever, this was like the first Will Smith slap reference that made me laugh in a long time. I did like the moment from Eddie Murphy. I thought it was shocking. It was pretty funny.
This was NBC at like AP. There was a lot of swearing on the broadcast. Like a lot of F bombs. Like a lot of them.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
They do the time delay so they can catch them. Although it was funny at one point.
No, did you get them bleeped? I didn't.
Oh, yeah. In the US, we get them bleeped.
No,
yeah,
in Canada, they were not bleeped.
Whoa.
This is just another thing that Canada does better.
It was very strange. Like I was watching on.
Speaking of the slap, literally, it was. We had to look at international footage to like hear what Will Smith was actually saying. Because here in the US, we were like getting. His audio was getting cut out like every 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
A couple of other stories from the night. There's the Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy gets the Carol Burnett Award as an achievement as well. His speech, I saw some people online being like, this is Ryan Murphy just thanking his famous friends as the speech. But I thought it was really sweet.
Heard award shows?
You know, I really loved that he spent the entirety of it just like propping up a bunch of different voices that have not had the chance to get on stage in this capacity quite yet. And like identifying all of these people who have these different paths of success of like, yeah, you could do this. I really loved Ryan Murphy's moment. I thought that was a really tremendous speech.
Yeah. I think there's like Ryan, there's a little bit of Ryan Murphy, like backlash, I think online right now. But then I think like you play the sizzle reel and it's like, oh yeah, he's made a bunch of really good TV, you know? The first thing he does is to say, last year there was no show, and MJ Rodriguez, the first trans actress to ever win a Golden Globe, let's give her a standing ovation. It's like, that's rad. That's awesome. That's cool. So I think that I think that the people he does choose to align himself, you know, say what you want about like all the TV he makes, like you can make bad TV when you make that much TV, but Justin made some great TV, very memorable TV. So I don't know. I liked it as well. I thought it was a fun, you know, fun moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, for what I was expecting from Ryan Murphy, I wouldn't say I'm in the backlash bandwagon, but I do have certain opinions about the quality of some of his shows. But I was pleasantly surprised with him propping, because I had the same thought of him propping people up is just, it's the best you could do. Like literally his friends would be other people like executives, but he's propping up people who he has made TV with and hired and like helped make their career. So if anything, that's I don't see that being insincere at all.
I will say he maybe has to figure out what to call this Dahmer show. Have you seen the title of the name of the show?
Yeah. Was it
Monster Colon?
Is it Dahmer hyphen Monster Colon the Jeffrey Dahmer story?
No. That's right. Which I think is because it was originally called Dahmer, and then they decided, oh, it'll be an anthology series about monsters, serial killers.
Stop. So that's a thing.
Real.
Yeah, I'm of several minds about this, and to try and grab onto the one that is coming most to the surface, it's just like, man, to be Ryan Murphy, it's to get away with, like, not only to get away with having that be the title of your show, but also for a while for that to be, I think it was the top streaming show that Netflix had ever
put
out.
One of the most watched Netflix shows, yeah.
Until The Watcher shows up like 2 weeks later.
Beat himself.
The power. The raw, unfiltered power of Ryan Murphy, I think, is distilled in the essence of Dahmer hyphen Monster Colon, the Jeffrey Dahmer story as a title.
Amazing.
He's the hyphen monster.
Yes, I suppose so. It was a big night for Abbott Elementary. Abbott Elementary won a bunch of stuff, wins Best TV Series, Musical or Comedy. Quinta Brunson won as well. Tyler James Williams won as well.
I believe that's what Jennifer Coolidge introduced, was best supporting actor in a musical or comedy.
That's right. That's right. So that's exciting. I really loved the first season. I need to catch up very, very obviously at this point. Like the accolades are rolling in. But it was really nice to see all those people win. This is a very deserving show, very clearly.
Janelle James gives the most Ava moment I've ever seen on real TV, where they are celebrating their win, and Shirley Ralph is about to thank God, only for Janelle James to shout out her mom.
What's up, Mom? Yeah.
It was incredible because in the moment, like, you could see, it seemed like she didn't realize what she was doing, but it was hilarious because when she watches it back, she'll realize.
I don't know. I don't think Shirley Ralph. I think Shirley Ralph thought she got her message out.
I don't think anyone's watching back the Golden Globes either. For
I'm saying they will.
It's true. It's very true. That was great.
Yeah. Shout props to Chloe Flower, the pianist. Playing a lot of
Michelle Yeoh's gonna beat her up.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh was gonna take her out, but then we had the clarification that no, she's not playing anybody off. That's a pre-recorded thing.
That's right.
There's a distinction between
and
the
so
two.
Chloe Flower, the pianist, the musician who is scoring the Golden Globes, had a really, I thought, funky rendition of the Sex and the City theme song at one point. And I kept waiting. Okay, are they going to bring out the end just like that cast? And no, it's a total non sequitur. Yeah. We were just doing the Sex and the City song.
I think that's why Jared Carmichael got confused when she did Under the Sea.
That was a great moment.
They it wasn't like, and now, you know, Halle Bailey from Little Mermaid. It was just like, no, that's the song she wanted to play.
Yeah.
No.
I heard the Sex and the City theme and I literally said out loud, oh no.
Another tremendously awkward and noteworthy moment from the show is when Jared Carmichael calls out Tom Cruise, who had surrendered his Golden Globes and decided to boycott the Golden Globes, but is also still deeply linked to Scientology, and so called that out. And immediately thereafter, with a coldly silent room receiving the joke, Grace, we then see two of the co-stars of Top Gun Maverick immediately come out to not only present an award, but also to go on an extended bit about how great Tom Cruise is.
Jay Ellis and Glenn Powell are like, Tom Cruise, a superstar, movie star.
It's tough moment. Yeah. Difficult times.
Yeah. It was rough to watch.
That was cringe. That was super cringe for me.
The joke is very good, though. I have to. It's very funny. Yeah. I have to say.
Tara Carmichael's joke.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were saying like the Tom Cruise, the co-star.
No. I love Glenn Powell. I loved him in this movie. This was not it for him. This award.
No, but that's a heart. Like, we had the whole thing planned. Yeah, we don't do it.
Like, he clearly followed the script.
This is what I'm talking about. Everybody who had a Brad Pitt joke, who heard everybody else do their Brad Pitt joke, is like, I don't have time to make up something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was all of that.
Well, the other one, the other really awkward in terms of like we're getting into weird territory was Regina Hall.
Yeah.
Accepting Kevin Costner's award,
right,
and making a joke about why he's not here and learning in the moment that he is doing it because he can't because of the California weather. But she was like, because it was raining. And then she's laughing because it's weather related. And then she realizes, I think that, and I think she might have had a little bit to drink, and she realizes that it's because of the California storms.
Yep.
And so now she feels bad for making a joke about.
Yeah, she starts laughing, like kind of uncontrollably in that sort of way where like, you know, something is wrong. It's wrong, but you cannot stop laughing. Like it's, and you're making it worse.
Yeah.
But you can't stop.
This was one of my favorite moments of the entire night. Like, Josh, all those buckets that you mentioned, whether it's like you're in it for the famous people, you're in it for the speeches, what you're looking for is authenticity. And nothing is more authentic than what you both are describing. To watch her go through those emotions and a comedian at heart, been around for many years, she's still, even while she's kind of confused and getting through this dark tunnel of what she's trying to say, she's like being hysterical and making herself laugh. It was so funny and genuine, and I loved it. And yes, it was very clear, like, yes, actually, I do feel bad for those people going through that thing, but like, come on, this is so dumb.
Well, I also think one of the things, I mean, she calls this out, that one of the reasons why she's laughing so hard is because of like the elaborate explanations that are being provided for the people who won but aren't like able to be there.
Gesturing to the screen.
Yeah, you know? So like, it's, you know,
telling me this.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Costner, I think, is the last person who wins who isn't there to accept an award, but it's been happening throughout the night that there are people who are winning and are not available to accept their awards. Kate
Amanda
Blanchett,
Seyfried is creating a masterful
and
musical.
So, this is, so when Amanda Seyfried wins for The Dropout, Best Performance by an Actress in a Limited Series, Anthology Series, or a Motion Picture Made for Television, and now there's the sustained applause and the cameras aren't cutting away from the presenters, so it's like, okay, so she's not here. Let's see. Let's stick around and find out why. And when we stick around and we find out why, the excuse that's given is Amanda couldn't be with us tonight. This week she is in the process of creating a musical, which is like the best excuse this side of My Dog Ate My Homework. It should be. I think that this needs to be introduced into the canon, Ariel.
I've seen a viral on Twitter, Ariel. Yeah.
Whatever happened to just so-and-so couldn't be here, we accept their award on their behalf. That's it. I don't need to know why they couldn't come.
And where
because
are they
the Golden Globes is embarrassed. They don't want to. They can't say they're here because they're boycotting our racist organization.
You know what? That's absolutely actually it. That's right? Definitely the answer. You got it. No notes.
Yeah.
It's like they worked as hard as they could to like drag proof this, right? Like you can't touch us. We're putting on as many bulletproof vests as we possibly can. And then as soon as the show opens up, they're just destroyed.
Can I just mention, you said that Regina Hall is being super authentic. Is this Austin Butler's voice now? He just can only speak like Elvis.
I've
now.
Never seen
Does that
him
happen?
Speak before, actually. This is
I
the had, first time
I've never
I'm
heard
him
speak.
But he sounds
is
exactly
like
he sounds exactly like his voice in Elvis.
Right, but
so
is
either
like
they found him and Ariel.
Is this one of those things where like he is this like a Theranos thing where he like at some point he changed his voice and now it's like too late and he has to stick with it because the investors are coming.
Yeah.
Well, if I start Googling on YouTube, it says Austin Butler and then it says voice change.
Oh, no.
Well, it could be the kind of thing, you know, Christian Bale often despite the fact that he's played many iconic American characters, including a pair of American psychos in Patrick Bateman and Bruce Wayne. He is not an American, and he will from role to role, I think, in interviews and press, he will slip into the accent of the character. Is Austin Butler just doing Elvis voice all the way through awards season?
Yeah, maybe.
A commitment to the character to like, you know, let's get some awards. Here.
I love you, Elvis. Wait, that's me. Damn.
I don't know. I don't know. But that's his voice. He just sounds like how he talks in Elvis.
Yeah. I'll have to take your word for it because I didn't see it. The final moment of the evening is the final award is being doled out by Quentin Tarantino. And Quentin Tarantino comes up, and I believe the word, I don't have the exact words he says, but his words are, I think something along the Elvis,
Tom Cruise,
Steven Spielberg, Kate Blanchett, Tom Cruise, and those little blue people from the Avatar. I don't know what they're called. It's like, Quentin Tarantino, you know what they're called. You're a nerd, man. You know exactly what the Na'vi are.
Yes, we got a punchline of the joke, but it, I mean, a little James Cameron, I mean, you know, is a famous person from these movies.
No major awards for Avatar, The Way of Water, Ariel. Are we shook? Are we surprised?
I could kind of taste it in the water. I mean, I thought it was also like an eligibility window thing. I mean,
an LGBT.
Not to say that next year it's going
to
be like, wow, this is the year.
Listen to the Spoilerfield podcast. Grace, you had some thoughts on that.
This is the year of Way of Water because of the eligibility window. But yeah, was I surprised? No. Was I surprised that Avatar came up at all? Yes.
This isn't where it cleans up. It's going to clean up in all the technical awards, right?
Yeah.
So, yes. You know, I think it will get nominated for Best Picture because they do 10.
It's not going to win until we get to Avatar 7 or whatever it is that closes out the series and it gets like the Return of the King.
Oh, Return of the King. Yeah.
So, I mean, when there's a Spielberg movie, you know, up, he just lost in both the categories he was nominated for, right?
Yeah.
He just lost to Spielberg in both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
It is difficult. I think it's a difficult time. Not really anything for Top Gun Maverick. I mean, these are the two big blockbusters of the year. Maybe it is really just an honor to be nominated to some extent, I think.
I mean, for that movie,
yeah. Yeah, for them. Does this incline you in it? I mean, this is effectively the end of the TV awards season right now, but the film awards continues as we're pushing towards the Oscars in the spring, I believe in March. Does this move the needle in any way for you if you are, I don't even know how interested in Oscar prognostication either of you are, but has this, like, I don't know, put any thoughts in your head about where things could be headed for the Academy Awards this year?
Yeah, I'm extremely into this. Is like all I'm talking about on podcast with Ariel. I think Ariel's sick of it, me being like, so I think this one has a good shot of being not, you know, some winners in this one. This is like, you know, I just think it's fun to theorize. So I, you know, this has me of like, oh, the Fabelmans, what a surprise. Because it was not really getting a ton of, but I thought Tar might take it here. So yeah.
As we like to say around these parts, we are just getting started talking about these movies. Yeah, I mean, I think it helps a little bit, if anything, just to like remind me which movies are gonna be possibly nominated. But I think it's always that thing with the Golden Globes of like, oh yeah, they split the movies, but what does that mean? Because like the Oscars, they have more per category, so ultimately kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but
in the actor categories it matters.
Yes,
because those are only what, five or six a piece. So that'll have to be whittled down. A question I have, and I guess I have a rooting interest in this because I would love to see it really clean up come Oscar season. With the awards that were doled out for Everything Everywhere All at Once this evening, is this now a serious contender, do you think, for Michelle Yeoh, certainly?
I think so. I don't think it was ever not a contender to a point Grace made before about like some things, you know, kind of peak too soon or too early. I feel like Everything Everywhere All at Once is in one of the rare ones that kind of has stuck around, at least in the conversation. So I think the optics certainly of her winning and the movie getting other awards attention is notable, at least for the public. I don't know that it's going to be, you know, make any difference for the voting body, but
sure.
So
I think it gets nominated. I think it's a fairly long shot to win. I think Banshees has sort of this like indie feel thing that is feels more, which I think this is not great that Banshees feels more Oscar-y, which is essentially like it's, you know, Everything Everyone at Once, as Michelle Yeoh is saying, is an immigrant story. There's just something about Banshees that feels more classically, like, yeah, I could see that one winning. I think the Fabelmans winning as well is very interesting tonight. The thing that is going to be toughest about Everything Everywhere All at Once, I still think Ki-Hong Kwan is the front runner for supporting actor. The challenge is that in the Golden Globes, drama and musical and comedy get split up. And so Michelle Yeoh won for lead actress tonight, but Kate Blanchett also won. And she, I think, is the front runner as Lydia Tartuett. So these nominations, I think she'll get nominated.
Kate Blanchett, she's won an Oscar before, right?
I believe so.
Did she win for Blue Jasmine?
I think
nominated.
I think maybe.
I was looking this other day because I was I watched Carol. This is great. So fun podcasting.
You guys like the podcast, right?
She did win for Blue Jasmine. She was nominated for Carol and Elizabeth, the Golden Age, and then three supporting actress, including a win for The Aviator. So yeah. Sometimes they like doing that of like giving, like they, you know, the Meryl Streepifying of somebody of like, look how many times they've won and been nominated. So this is the toughest thing for Michelle Yeoh, I think, coming out of this, is that it's all of movies, right? Yeah. It's not just musical and comedy.
And it's tough because Kate Blanchett is a legend, a living
and
legend
she's
as well. So
very good as Lydia Tarr. Like yeah. very,
she learned,
very good.
She learned how to play the piano and how to conduct an orchestra. She conducted my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did she have the longest ever underwater scene ever filmed for a movie?
Wow.
Kate Winslet is not eligible for any of these awards this year.
Where's Edie Falco? Best use of a coffee mug.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're all going to need a coffee mug in the morning. It was a late night here watching the Golden Globes. This was our recap of the Golden Globes. Anything, any other notes? Notes from the Globes? Anything we didn't touch on? I mean, Colin Farrell really just to like, I don't think that it could be overemphasized. Like, he was really hamming up every moment he could possibly get.
He's like, remember me? I'm Colin Farrell.
He wanted to be what Brad Pitt was tonight, which is like everybody being like, oh, Colin
but no
Farrell
one was talking
there.
To him.
They didn't see him there.
He had to talk first. You know?
I know.
They didn't see him in the prime position. I was happy to see our friend from Blackbird, Grace.
Yes.
Paul Walker Hauser.
Yeah. Stingray.
Win.
Cobra Kai.
I love him going in the wrong direction.
He wins the award. I was just about to say, he wins the award for best person not knowing where the stage is. Like, it was incredible.
Yes, that was very good. That was very funny. And Jeremy Allen White winning for The Bear, I think.
That was nice.
Nice to see.
He had my favorite. I think he said my favorite sentence of the night when he was giving his acceptance speech. He said, I love The Bear. which I just thought was really funny.
What if he was admitting to his love
of
a bear?
Oh, a bear. Wow.
Can I? Yeah, I'll give a super shout. You know, I do think, like, you know, if you ever win something, it could be the only time you're ever going to win. Thank everybody you want. Ignore the piano. Like, do whatever. I don't care. Like, this is your moment. Especially people like Paul Walter Hauser makes the joke. I think he's like, I'm not getting Spielberg time up here, which is very funny. But I also just a huge shout out to anybody who wins an award. And it's like, thank you. This is great. Have a good night. And like, just like gets like, just says thank you. And leaves. They're like, tremendous shout out to them. They're the best. Yeah.
Just to hurry this thing
to save time for Jennifer Coolidge. And I did see on Twitter a take.
It's the Merritt Weaver move.
Yes. The take is, let Jennifer Coolidge win an award at every award show, no matter what. So she always gets to make a speech. And
I think
frankly agree.
I think that's right. I think we were blessed to have so much. Yeah. I think we're blessed to have so much Jennifer Coolidge in our lives this past year. And hopefully much more to come. More to come in the post-show recaps theater universe. Could you tease anything that you've got coming up down the pipeline, Grace?
Should we dance for a mirror? Just do a weird dance in a weird hallway?
Are you experiencing an uncanny valley effect, Josh?
Post-show recaps after dark just got very weird.
I'm
very weird. Yeah,
we're covering Megan.
Oh,
M3 again, Model 3 generative android, for all those who haven't watched it yet.
I actually know almost nothing about it. I know I know that people love it. I know that it's a robot of some kind. Mm-hmm. I know it is horror in genre.
Yeah.
I believe who's the actor that's in it that I'm thinking of?
Allison Williams.
Correct. The actress. Yeah. Yes. That's who I'm thinking of. And she's making the rounds talking about Nepo babies and such. Mm-hmm. So I've heard people like it.
It's very fun. Horror is in this, like the best, some of the best movies are horror movies. Cause they just like, they're doing such satire on, this is all just about like AI and it's brilliant.
Do we need to make a horror podcast? Is that the thing?
Maybe.
That
sounds horrible. At the moment?
Yeah. Horror is super in. Barbarian, Smile, Nope, Megan. It's all it's hidden.
Yeah. What's the horror movie podcast to do? It's like all the post-show recaps podcasters come in to talk about Knives Out, but like slowly, like one by one, like we get interrupted by ad breaks, and on the other side of each ad break, a host is dead.
A true horror podcast to release would just be, oops, it's all ad breaks.
This is not a bad idea. I'm thinking out loud here live on the podcast.
Boo.
Maybe edit this one out.
Because this is a good Easter egg if you made it this far and someday that happens. Now you
oops,
know where it came from, the Oops All Ads edition of Post-Show Recaps. If you want the Yay No Ads version, you can sign up to be a patron, patreon.com/post-show recaps, ad-free podcasts, if you are interested in any of that. M3GAN. Ariel, what else is going on? What else is happening in the podcast universe?
Let's see. I have Post-Show Recaps Theater with Grace, as we already mentioned. We have a fun guest, perhaps, for Megan. It's a robot. And also, we'll be covering towards the end of the month, speaking of Natasha Lyonne, the Peacock show. It has a name.
Poker Face.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It looks amazing. And Natasha Lyonne did some great work in getting the hype train revved for that by her moment at the Globes. So
yes,
absolutely. Looks very fun.
That was flawless.
That was great.
Yeah, and I am on Twitter at that other Ariel and remembering movies and titles and things.
Amazing. Yeah. Grace is at High from Grace.
Well, one of Ariel's plugs is also that we're doing Dark. We're doing a full Dark rewatch, all the seasons, full spoilers. So that's very fun. Covering Mayfair Witches with Rich and covering The Last of Us coming up with Mike on the recap and Taryn on Video Game Club. And there'll be so many podcasts on The Last of Us. I'm very excited. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. The Last of Us on HBO. I will be doing some coverage around that as well, alongside LaTanya Starks. We are bringing back the Versus podcast. It's going to be The Last of Us versus Station 11 is the podcast we're going to do. It's going to be a really, really good time talking about two very, very good shows. That should be quite fun. There is also, as you mentioned, Grace, The Last of Us First Play podcast, where the incredible team, I think, a dynamic duo in the making of Brooklyn Zed and Jessica Sterling, are going to be playing The Last of Us together for the first time.
You're playing a horror game. This is so fun.
I cannot wait. I think calamity to ensue, and it should be must-listen podcasting, so that'll be fun. Next up for me on the docket, and soon in your feeds, as we will be recording on Wednesday morning, which it already is, I will be getting together with Rob Cesternino for the Rob and Josh show here on Post Show Recaps, stealing a page from the Post Show Recaps Theater playbook as... We're going to be talking about The Menu, HBO Max's recently streaming The Menu. Watched it the other night. Oh, boy, the mess. That was a moment. So we've got a lot to talk about with The Menu. I think Rob and I are going to have a fun time. We'll also talk about TV and movie headlines. I'll maybe see if I can't catch them up on a Golden Globe line item or two. Thank you all for sticking with us with our Golden Globes coverage. We'll be back with more award season coverage, I'm sure, for Oscar season and all that good stuff. Make sure you're subscribed to the Post-Show Recaps Theater podcast feed as well. And we'll see you all soon. All right. Take care. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.